Hey, this is Gray Cook, and welcome to Gray Cook Radio, where I talk with my favorite publisher about the questions that we've generated from our work.
Gray, I wanted to follow up on last week's conversation about motor control and talk a little bit about balance. As you were talking, I was thinking about myself and being able to balance. Actually, the week before, we talked about barefoot. And if I balance on one foot barefoot, I can do it much better on one foot than the other. And then I was thinking about the stability and motor control, and I wondered, can you explain how that's related?
Yeah, I can. Now, first of all, balance is an act of feedback, first and foremost. Don't think of balance as output. Think of balance as input first. The typical example, stand on one foot. When you lift that other foot in the air, the first few things that happen with your weight shifting, with trying to find a point of stability in that foot, balance is first and foremost about input. And input always happens best when mobility is free and alignment is good. So we just have to remember that balance just isn't output, it's input. Let's make sure we have better input. The first thing that would happen, Marie, if you were testing your own balance and you found yourself to be wobbly on left, is I would say, let's maximize input. Did you do your foam rolling? Let's do some more foam rolling on the left. Let's do some stretching on the left. Do a pencil to the left and right. Let's really see what your mobility is. Do a Turkish get up to the left and right and see how you move. If you notice asymmetries in these movements while you're laying on the ground, then I imagine they should be represented when you stand on your feet. I'll tell you this, you can get through a movement screen and still not react well to balance strategies. And I know I'm going to get killed for this one, but my wife, Danielle, has recently given birth. Zena, our newest addition in the Cook House, is about 3.5 months old, doing great, hasn't rolled over yet, but we're working on it. We're training every day. Danielle came to the clinic the other day, and she goes, you got to run me through a movement screen. This C-section, this pregnancy has undone me in some way. She pulls off a 19 on the movement screen. I invented the thing, and I think the very first time I did it, I had to buy a 19. I had to buy an extra point from Lee when he tested me. So no asymmetries, 19. But the funny thing was, everything was great. Active straight leg raise was low. Well, when she was doing some step-ups on the power plate, her balance was all over the place. Even though she did quite well in some of the movements on the movement screen, the minute it became more dynamic, the minute it became more about feedback, everything was undone. We went in the exam room, and I worked on her core. Obviously, she had a C-section. She had some core issues, and we did some dry needling and some other things because she was having some back stuff. But immediately changed her leg raise from a 2 to a 3. It had nothing to do with hamstring length. Her mobility was demonstrated to be good by everything else. But she didn't really stabilize well through her pelvis, just a few minutes working on certain things. And there's lots of ways we could have gotten there, not just Gray Cook methodology. Anybody could have probably improved some of those things. Went right back to the power plate, which is a vibrating plate doing step-ups on it. She does better right away. Now, we didn't do any type of exercise. All we did was allow that leg raise to get better. We went back in and grabbed a little more movement. By grabbing more movement, we grab more opportunity for awareness. By grabbing more opportunity for awareness, we grab more opportunity for perception and feedback. And that extra amount of information allowed her body to probably stabilize and then balance better. So whenever we see faulty balance, just like we talked about earlier, let's not automatically pull out our kinesiology book and say, what should we strengthen? What should we strengthen? Let's make sure input's appropriate. Let's make sure symmetry is appropriate. And let's make sure fundamental mobility is present. Movement competency is about those two basic things, having adequate mobility and then learning how to become upright and balanced and aligned with that mobility. It's a 1-2 punch. Taking your mobility from the kind of mobility an infant has and turning that into the integrity that allows you to stand is very important. And it must precede strength training or endurance training or sport-specific training, or you're going to put that training on top of a faulty foundation.
I had a hysterectomy a long time ago, 15 years ago probably, and at one point I saw something that Paul Check was doing, kneeling on the stability ball, and I'll tell you what, that cured me of some stuff that was going on after hysterectomy. No question in my mind. Like, I went from couldn't do it, shaking, like panicking. I stuck with it for maybe 15 or 20 minutes until I could do it, and now I can do it anytime I want.
Basically, in doing that, in allowing yourself to have a lot of mistakes and have a lot of challenges, you retrain. I was trying to create that word picture in the book when we talked about it's not about doing the exercise perfect. When we're lifting big weight or doing a sports skill, it is about doing it as perfect as you can do it. But that's why I said sometimes corrective strategy doesn't look like corrective strategy to the outside observer. But the person attempting it and the person coaching it know what's happening. If I put you half kneeling and you're struggling but you're not falling over, oh, you're making memories and you're learning and you're connecting neurons that may have not connected. And when you were balancing on that ball, same difference. A lot of us feel like when we're wobbly, we're losing face and we can't stand it. We've got to have this perfect posture, this perfect correction all the time. That ain't what corrective exercise is. Corrective exercise is a toddler learning to walk, or a child learning to read, or a baby finding their fingers for the first time. There's going to be a lot of mistakes, but the persistence and the opportunity to make minute corrections is how we create those neural pathways.
And all the things that you've talked about here today, then, balance and motor control and even balancing on the ball and stuff, this is all related to PNF, right?
You know, I really think it is, because if we break down the term, proprioceptive neuromuscular facilitation, PNF starts with proprioception, which is what? Position sense, sensory awareness, the sense of your body in space. Even with your ears plugged up and your eyes closed, your proprioception works. I can place your hand over top of your head without you even moving, and you know where it is. So proprioceptive, neuromuscular, we're engaging the system through movement awareness, facilitation, activation. Anything that challenges you through movement with your neuromuscular system at an appropriate level, facilitation. Not a beatdown, not boot camp, not a good ass kicking, just facilitation, which means an appropriate dose of stimulus is therapeutic or corrective in nature.
Well, this stuff is fascinating. I love it. I know the listeners will too. So thanks a lot for talking to us.
You're welcome. Thank you.